Blog Talk Radio.
We thank you this morning. We thank you for another opportunity, another day, God, to lift you up, to praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are Yahweh, that you are God, that you are the Lord of the heavens and the earth, God. So, Father, this morning, we come to you with a grateful spirit, Father, saying thank you, Father, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. And, Lord, today, God, just have your way, hallelujah, on this call, God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the voices, Lord, that you have used, Father, hallelujah, to be a blessing, God, to those of us, God, who make the sacrifice, God, who give the time, God, to just come to a place where they can hear your word, Father, your truth, God, hallelujah. So we praise you today. We bless your name today. Hallelujah, Lord. Have your way, have your way. Let these words fall on good ground, Father, producing 100-fold, bringing forth much fruit, fruit that remains, Father. We thank you for that today, Lord. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, God, that it destroys yoke, break chains, and set captives free, Father. So today, Lord, hallelujah, this morning, Father, Father God, we yield to you, Lord. We yield these members, these clay vessels to you, Father. We thank you that you are the potter and we are the clay. We thank you, Lord, for causing us, your spirit causing us to be committed, Father, to your mandate, your assignment, your agenda, your plans and your purpose. We commit the work to you, Father. We commit the work to you, Lord. Have your way, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for Apostle Jeffrey Wooden, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the words, hallelujah, of revelation, Father God, that, hallelujah, that we are receiving this morning, Lord. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the visionary. We thank you for Apostle Randy Dixon, Father God. Bless him, Lord. Father God, as you use him, God, to take this word around the globe, Father. We thank you for the radio broadcast, Father. We thank you for increase. We thank you for the elevation, Father. Have your way today, God. Bless everything that's concerning them, Father. Their ministry, their finances, Father God. Their family, Father. Hallelujah, God. Their faith, Father. Father God, continually increase them, Lord, in every area of their lives, Lord, that they trust you and they keep their eyes on you, Father. Father God, not looking to the left nor to the right, Father God. Hallelujah, but continually.
Good morning, everyone. Had a little challenge with the call. Sorry about the silence there. This morning, we have a treat, so to speak, for the participants of the call. On yesterday, we had our apostle from Quincy, Florida, join us on the teaching for the intercessors, and he gave a powerful, powerful, powerful word on yesterday, and we just knew that it would be something that if we did not share on today, that the people who are on the call today would miss out on something that is paramount. So we invite you to go ahead and grab your pen and pencil. And really, really, really focus in on this call, because this call is very, very powerful. It is something that will definitely enhance your knowledge. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 23:4 that he will 3 and 15, that he would give us pastors after his own heart that would feed us with knowledge and understanding. And so today he's allowing us to assume that position. This is going to be something you definitely want to take notes for. So I'm not going to prolong it because it's close to an hour, if not just a little over an hour, but you definitely want to hear and take notes during this call. And here we go.
Good morning.
Hey, Apostle Luke.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Y'all doing okay?
All right. Well, everyone, welcome to the Five-Fold Conference call, the Teaching on Intercession. We have a guest this morning, our very own Apostle Jeffrey Wooden. I think right now he's in Quincy, Florida, and he has been on the call, I think, one time previous to this, and we decided by the instruction of the Holy Spirit to invite him back in to continue to elaborate on the identity of the intercessor, the purpose of the intercessor, what the intercessor is for, the heart of the intercessor, anything pertaining to intercession. And so we want to make sure that you have your pens and pads. We want to make sure that you hit record, whatever it takes for you to be able to go back over this and get this word in your heart and your spirit where you can utilize it to actually make your decisions to actually move into what God has called you to do. We invite you to do that this morning. We bless the hearers, Lord God, of your word. We say the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. We command 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold fruit from the call. And Apostle, you can take off whenever you get ready.
Okay. I'm going to, again, you all, it's good to be on the call again. I think I want to hit 1 Timothy 2:1. I'm just going to talk about this, intercession in two different ways here. As we know, all through the Bible, you know, God had men, great men or women, to intercede. And again, I think, like I said last time, intercession is not just praying. Everybody's not able to be in that role. The intercessor deals with a sacrifice on laying down your life. That's what Christ was, that Christ died. So that's what you call an intercessor. Charles, my sister, is message from the call from last time. So my salvation came through intercessor. That's true. Most or all deliverance comes through an intercessor. So if there's going to be any type of major deliverance, there has to be someone standing in between to take it for the one that's being delivered. That's what intercessors are. Intercessors have to be able to take it. These are tough people. But I want to talk about one. This is 1 Timothy 2:1. This is Paul. Timothy here is Paul's spiritual son.
Hold on one second. I'm hearing the interference in the background, and if you guys don't mind, would you please hit *6 on your bumper, so therefore you can hear our call, and we don't have to your background noise. And the call is being recorded. All you have to do is just hit *6 on your phone. It'll mute your side of the phone, and you can continue to do whatever it is you're doing, and you can hear or you can cause any interference on the call. There's quite a bit of interference on the call, and we're recording this call. We want the recording to be real clean and clear. So if you don't mind, just get started, and you can continue to do whatever it is you're doing uninterrupted. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Now we can hear you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was saying earlier that I want to talk about intercession in two ways. I want to talk about intercession in a personal way. Basically about applying in your personal life, and sometimes you can be in a situation or in an area or put in a circumstance just to intercede, and we'll talk about that. But as I mentioned earlier, I was listening to a previous call with I think from last time you all did with Charles, and they talked about how intercession, salvation came through intercession, which is true. Because all deliverance, again, happens through an intercessor, because somebody intercedes. God always looks for someone to stand in the gap, especially when he gets ready to do something major. The reason why he looks for that individual is because that individual has to be the one that is willing to sacrifice his or her particular life. So that's one of the roles, that's one of the ingredients that comes with an intercessor. That individual has to be willing to die. Basically, don't really have a life, so to speak. But anyway, 1 Timothy 2:1, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy was an apostle. He was given to one of Paul's churches and ministry here. And one of the things he told him to do, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession. Now, that's important because you know he mentioned three things here, and all three are both setting up prayers, so to speak. He said supplication, prayer, and intercession. These are three different dimensions of praying or communicating with God. Intercession being the most powerful one, because intercession is not praying about you. Not necessarily praying, it's the afterness. You know, you got supplications and prayers, and he mentioned he said for all men, for everyone. But the intercession is the reason why they got supplication, prayer, and intercession, but they're different. Supplication is a request. You know, you get the word supply from supplication. So supplication is like he's praying for God to supply him. When there's no demand, there's no supply. So that and prayer is a type. Actually, it's a type of worship. It's a private, personal, intimate time with you and God. It's not so much as these prayers is not so much as a person going down a list per se. It is sometimes prayer can be without words, but it is prayer deals with relationship more so than asking God for things. So, but intercession is sort of different. It still means prayer, it still means supplication, but on a different type of level. Intercession is the go between when you stand in the gap, when you're taking lists and hits for an individual, for a country, for a community, for a city. So all these particular prayers, all these particular prayers before God, very important. Don't forget the part where it said giving up thanks. So that's important too. The Bible says, Philippians, I think, 4 and 6, be careful of nothing but prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. All those things are important. So we have to remember these things, these supplication, prayer, and intercession, they're all different. They have a different degree of, intensity. They have a different degree. One scripture teaches us that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, the word deals with heat, intense. You know, I always teach people that God don't necessarily hear prayers, he smells them. Because the prayer is supposed to produce heat, fire, normal heat. And those are the incense that goes up before God. Like the angel, there's an angel that had in Revelation had a vow. And John asked him, what is that vow? And the angel said, these are the prayers of the righteous. And so, even in Moses' tabernacle, in the inner court there, one of the things that was in the inner court was the prayer of incense. So that's the smoke. That's the heat and the fire. And so prayer is supposed to be intense. It's supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be real. It's produced smoke. It's produced different fire that God smells. The scripture says Jesus Christ was a sweet smelling savior. Sacrifice when you kill something. That's what innocence is, a dying when you kill something, when you pray. It is a sacrifice and God smells it. Okay? So all those things are important. So I wanted to point that out to you to let you know that those things are different. Okay? Those things are different. But one of the things I wanted to point out too is in the book of Esther. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but just mention about her. And I think I told you last time that one of the characteristics of the intercessor is to take risk. Characteristics of the intercessor is sacrifice. I told you that, like, with Moses, he told the children of Israel, he told God, very bold. Take my name out of the book if you don't. I don't know if I would have done that, but Moses did it. That was a real intercessor. He was willing to take risks and die and make sacrifices. Abraham did the same thing. Daniel also did the same thing for where he was. So every situation is going to call for a certain intent. And sometimes intercessors. Intercessors blocks God from doing certain things. So it's not always deliverance and pulling people out of stuff, but sometimes it stops God from doing certain things. Sometimes God needs intercessors so that he won't do certain things. And we stand in that place for God. And the intercessor has to have a relationship. Because the intercessor, they are willing to say things to God. So you have to have a type of relationship to say certain things to God. You can't just say everything to God. So come for a relationship. But with the thing with Esther, I know I'm talking fast, so I'm pretty sure y'all are really listening here. So, but with the thing with Esther, one of the things I want to point out is our personal intercessor. Now, in the book of Esther, if I'm not mistaken here, if you don't have any mention of God per se, but God was all in it. The reason why God left that out like that, or that book was written like that, God wanted us to know that in our life, sometimes we'll be placed in areas, we'll be placed in it could be on a job, where it seems like there's no life or no God nowhere. Okay? But there is. And sometimes God places us in those situations, in those areas. What we don't understand, if we only focus on what's not there or how we're being treated, or there's no other saints around, or there's no prayer in school. There's no, if we don't focus on those type of negative things, to me, I'm going to be honest with you, those are good things to me. Because you can't live a life just on positive. My truck can't run on negative thoughts. I'm just positive. I need negative. Negative is what gives the power. Negative and positive is what produces power. If I didn't have opposition, I wouldn't have power, or I wouldn't even know I got it. So I need opposition in my life. I need opportunities to pray. I need something to happen to pray, to produce intercession, to produce supplication, to produce prayer. So God creates circumstances so that he can bless them. Sometimes God wants to bless so bad, but it's not all the time to pray for, so he'll produce circumstances so that we can pray, so that he can bless. So these things are important in our lives. If you look at our country now, God's raising up some serious intercessors. We're living in that season. You're living in a season where God is raising up some serious intercessors, people that are dying to themselves. They don't want nothing else. All they're seeking is for the glory. When you seek the glory, you're going to have some serious intercessors, because these other individuals are not focusing on themselves. They're not focusing on personal issues, personal things. I'm not saying that they're short there, not saying that they're out, but that's not their mentality, that's not their target. But we're living in that season now, because the world is, or as we know it, about to come to an end. Now listen to me. If the world is changing, the church is changing. If the church still remains in prehistoric times, the world will overtake it. There has to be a shifting of the church. If there's a shifting of the world, when there's a shifting of the world, a lot of things most of us don't know that we're getting, there's more demonic attack now that's different from 10 or 20 years ago. Some demons don't manifest because they don't need to. But now it's getting to a point they are manifesting because the church is, God is changing the church now. So they're manifesting. So God is raising an intercessor, apostolic, prophetic, and they're matching rank for rank. A general is not needed when there's a private that's...
Good morning.
Excuse me? Can I keep going?
Yes, you can keep going, Apostle. It's just we should be advising them when they come on the call. They don't have to announce themselves, because you know when you call in and say, please announce yourself. But after all, it's part of it. It's a disruption if you do that. So just need to make them aware of it. Right. Go ahead.
Good. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I was talking about the times we're living in now that God is raising up intercessor, and this is a different type of intercessor, because you're dealing with a different type of intense of war now. So the world is changing, the church is changing. That's why you can't do church as usual anymore. None of that stuff works no more. Matter of fact, it's going to make people bored, and they're not going to get it. So can't do church as usual. Our teaching has to be more in depth. We have to be more, not just a hoop and a holler and not saying nothing. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to know who, what, when, where, why, and how. But those are the questions that people want to know. They're not into all the other stuff that we used to be into. Those things work for time. But now, everything is different now. So God's raising up a serious intercessor. Not that he didn't have them back then, which he did. We wouldn't be where we are. Remember, the child story, that salvation is a direct relationship with intercession. So all deliverance comes through someone interceding. all of them. You don't just get delivered. Somebody is interceding. Something happened there. But anyway, back to Esther here. And my main point here is really focusing on how do we know that we're in a particular situation where we have to intercede? How do we know that? Now, remember, that we all pray and everything. We all do that, but intercession is totally different. In the case of Esther, her main purpose for being placed where she was for intercession. That's what her main purpose, even though she got other perks that came with it. But ultimate goal, ultimate purpose. I get people all the time when they're on a particular job. They always talk to me about most people for some reason feel like they shouldn't be on a job with just all unsaved people. I don't know where you get that from. I don't know where people get that from. Because if light don't light up light, light only light up darkness. If light trying to light up light, we just trying to see which one's the brightest. And so light only light up darkness. So if there's darkness, God's going to make sure there's a light there. And so God was a lot of times places us in an area. And I've seen a lot of things missed what God was trying to do because, again, they were so focused on themselves. Or how they feel, or you know, what they're saying to me. Whenever you're focusing on yourself, you're actually just putting a veil over between you and the glory. When Jesus died on the cross, what died? What died was his flesh. The flesh always represents veil. That is why that when Jesus died, the veil rent from top to bottom. So whenever flesh is involved, there is no glory. The glory cannot be manifest. And so whenever you're in the flesh, and when we're talking about flesh, we're not talking about your body, your skin. We're talking about your carnal thinking, the way you think, mentality, the way we think. And all that has to change. There's a difference between conformity and transformity. You know, as the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Whenever you conform to something, you're saying that something you see, you make it your reality. So that's why he's telling you not to conform to it, because it will become your reality. Whenever something becomes your reality, it stops transformation. It stops the glory. So never make it your reality. I don't care if you do have cancer. Don't make it your reality. It will stop transformation. There cannot be no glory, and you will take that cancer to the grave with you. So don't make what you're in a reality. Don't conform to poverty. Don't conform to these things. It stops the reality. So if we conform to something, conform to our environment, conform to what we see, conform to what's going on in the world, it will stop transformation. Whenever there's no transformation in your life, it's because you have conformed to something. There have to always be changes going on in your life. There have to always be changes. You always have to move from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. You shouldn't be the same person as you was last year. As we move into this year, we should not be the same person. So whenever we conform to something, we allow our flesh to get in the way. We allow our carnal thinking to get in the way. So transformation can't take place. It's a totally big difference between the two. So a lot of us really don't realize that. That's why you see people in churches and things that feel the same, because they have made what they see in their surroundings their reality. And therefore, when you make it your reality, there cannot be a transformation. And transformation only takes place in your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it starts. You know. So in the case with Esther here, she was particularly placed there and where she was to intercede. And remember I told you last time, those of you that was on the call, that one of the functions of an intercessor is an individual that lays down their life. That's one of the functions, period. I do believe that there's different degrees intercessor. There's people that may intercede in a like a pastor may intercede over his flock, but then you have someone that God places to intercede for country culture. Now that's different. That's different demonic. That's different warfare. You know, you're dealing with different. So I think that comes with God building characters. Let me say that. I know you know a lot of things, but it connects to what I'm saying. It's just like a church. A church starts off with as a house. And then it starts off because you have to get the house in order. And then it starts off being able to affect the city. And that's why the Bible says, when your city is sitting over here, it starts off affecting the city. And then after it affects the city, it starts off affecting the world, or it becomes kingdom then. So you have three phases in ministry. And so you can't move just starting into the world because you have to get the house in order. So I believe it does the same thing. You know, the scripture said we're the way, the truth, the Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Those are dimensions. And those are all the way just coming in really at one time. Those certain dimensions that he has to go through. Unfortunately, most of the church are not in the life part. We're still trying to do the way. We're still trying to do the truth. So truth deals with identity, deals with who you really are, it deals with being real. So, and I believe God is moving the church into the life part, the where we realize, begin to realize who we are. So with Esther, that's why he had the preparation for her. There are certain, most of you probably on this line now is being prepared for things. You never prepare for where you are. You always prepare for where you're going. If you're prepared for where you are, then you're never moving. You know, that's your reality. So you always prepare for where you're going. And with Esther, she had preparation. She was preparing. She had to go to see the king. She had to put on she had to bathe in certain oil and incense that she had to smell a certain way. She had to do a certain thing, and it took time. It took time with her. She was preparing herself. And so all this time, she was prepared to be favored from the king. And she was being beautified. She was being fixed up. So I think, you know, as we move through life, it depends on the dying of the individual, the commitment, the sacrifice, the giving up, the surrendering of the life of the individual. The more we surrender our life to God, the more God can use us in greater things. God is looking for an individual that is totally sold out. It's too many of us are totally. When I say totally, that's what I mean. We may go to church, we may praise, we may get up and pray. But there's a totality. And an individual would know that they have it in God, but so, because there's certain different about that individual. They have something different about them. But that's what God is looking for. He's looking for individuals that will. In the case of the rich young ruler, and he came to God all happy. You know the story. He was happy because. And what he asked God, what must I do to have eternal life? Eternal. That's very powerful. Because he was talking about something forever, something that's going to never end. And Jesus told him, you do this and do this and do this, and basically talking about the Ten Commandments. The guy said, I've done this from my youth up. I did this. And he was excited. And the Lord told him, he said, one thing you lack. And he said, give all you have to the poor. Sell all you have. He used the word sell. He didn't say give. it implies him selling out. It implies, if you sell out, I will pay you. That's what that implies. If you sell out, I pay. That's why I use the word sell. And so he said, said, sell all you have before. He said, all you have here before. And pick up your cross, come follow me. And Christ was actually saying to the rich young ruler, it's his identity. We don't even know his name. We call him by his character. His identity was rich young ruler. Christ was actually saying, you cannot have two identities. You cannot have identity that when people see you, they see your money. And you cannot have that and follow me. You have to take on my identity. So he was actually telling him, sell your identity. Get rid of it. I don't want people to see you as a rich young ruler. I want people to see you as a disciple of Christ. So we lose, in intercession, you lose your whole identity. You lose the thing that the world, that people see you as. You lose that. Your identity is gone. As an intercessor, there's no reputation. There's nothing like that. You have no identity. The only identity you have is in Him. So to follow, to be that type of intercessor, what God's actually calling us to be, because that's preparation. He tests us. And then He puts us in situations. You can only put a person that's willing to die on any person in certain situations. You know, you can't put everybody in certain situations. That's not saying that we're all not important to the kingdom of God, but we all have different roles. We all have different degrees of position. We all have different rank. There's different rank in the kingdom of God. And so Rich Young Ruler had to lose his identity. That's what he had to use, to lose. But, he, you know, of course we know the story. He went away very, very sorrowful because he didn't want to get rid of that. He wanted to have an identity that the world would recognize him instead of having an identity that demons would recognize him. That's two different things. So there's preparation. God prepares us for certain things. But they're all through our life. And if we don't, as individuals and people of God, we don't understand trouble. We don't understand things that happen in our life. A lot of things we call them ourselves. But the scripture says that God is able to make all things work together. Even the things that we have called on ourselves because of our poor decision, God can take those things and make them work for our good. I love that. Which means this, very powerful statement I'm about to make, which means that there's nothing in your life that was a waste. I don't care if you're on crack for 20 years. That God's going to redeem time. God's going to lose time. Nothing is wasted in your life. He's going to take everything that you've been through, make it work out for good. Nothing is wasted in our life. I love that. All the stuff that I went through and done, even before I got saved, that's not a wasted life. So I don't care if you had a bad marriage and the man left you after 20 years. That's not wasted. That's a life that God takes. It takes people like that and makes them intercessors. These people become tough. So God prepares you in our life. And so one of the things Esther did when it came for that moment, remember, one of the characteristics of an intercessor is risk and sacrifice. So one of the things she said in Esther, I think around the fourth chapter, she was willing, listen to this, to perish. She said, if I die, let me die. That's powerful. Same thing Jesus did. That's intercessor. That's what the cross is. He intercedes. He didn't say, if I die, let me die. He died. And so the intercession brought salvation. Same thing with Esther, type of Christ. Her intercession brought salvation for the Jews. It would bring salvation for someone, and it would destroy the other. It would destroy the enemy and bring salvation for the ones you were standing out for. And the intercession would destroy. And depending on the rank, would destroy a very powerful enemy. Jesus, on this point, destroyed Satan. That was our most powerful enemy. Esther, on that at that point destroyed, what was his name, Mordecai? Whatever his name was, but she had to destroy that very, it was a powerful enemy that was next to the king. And he had very access. He was able to make laws and decisions. And these type of people, who you want to intercede to deal with a very powerful enemy, you got to be willing to die for what you for the people listening that you're interceding for. That's intercessor. That's the real deal. And this is what God calls out, because he's raising up people who are going to intercede for the nations. I mean, cry out for them. Intercede for this city. Intercede for this country. So you're going to have that. People are going to cry out for this world. And so that's what God is doing now. So that's the intercessors. And let me mention this. Don't be surprised sometimes in your own life that you're placed in a situation. Why do you think a lot of times when God saves a family, he only saves one person in the family? Why don't he just save, go ahead, God, just save the whole family? No, he just saved one family. He don't need to save the whole family. Because what you don't know is you're going to be the innocent. That whole family is going to take hits at you. And you're going to stand in the gap. You're going to be one saying, no, God, no, no. You said you're going to save my whole house. So we are interceding. We may not be interceding on a large particular scale for a nation, but you're interceding for that family, for the loved one. God is using, God can save the whole family at one time when he get ready. But he'll get that one person out of that family, and they become that example, that intercessor. That's what God does. That's how he showed himself. If he didn't save the whole family, he didn't show himself. But he'll save that one person so he can show himself strong in, that those that he's going to save can see and realize that it was nobody but God. God is trying to get the glory. It's not about us. It's not about ourselves. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we think. And remember, you've got to get the calm-minded thinking out of it. It's not about that. There's always a greater glory or greater purpose. Even with the case of Job, it's always a great, why did God allow that? My God, his whole family, everybody's dead and gone. What was going on there with Job? He was a friend, trying to bring judgment. What was the world going on there? Well, it's actually about God. And that's about it. So everything we see and we have, that God, we have to hold on to it loosely, because it's not ours. We just manage it. Our kids are just not ours. And nothing we have is ours. Everything belongs to God. So it's all about God getting the glory. It's not about you getting the glory. It's not about us. It's about him. God wants to be seen. Even though the word God was even in the book of Esther, God was seen mightily. And so sometimes God will place you in places, And he don't even, he'll think it's the worst place, he'll think it's the worst condition, but he's putting you there to be the light. He's putting you there to be that intercessor that he's going to cross over to save, to deliver. And at the same time, while the one you're interceding get delivered, the enemy gets destroyed. There cannot be any deliverance if there's no enemy destroyed. The children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. They cannot come out of Egypt if the enemy could not be destroyed. The enemy had to be destroyed too. So whenever there's an intercessor, look for the enemy to be destroyed also. Not just people being delivered, but also look for the enemy to be destroyed, because that's not going to happen to you again. When you're delivered from something, the enemy has to die. If the enemy never dies, there's a possibility you'll go back into that area. And so that's innocent. You're not only praying for the deliverance of the other person, the enemy gets destroyed. And a lot of times, you don't even really have to mention nothing about the enemy. It automatically happens. Because of your intercessor, because of your sacrifice, the enemy automatically dies. Okay? So those are the things I wanted to talk about. I hope I made sense today to you. I wanted to really just focus on just, you know, on your own personal life. Some of you may be in a situation now where you just basically praying ain't working. You may have to die. You may have to stretch your arm out, put your feet together, and get on the cross. God may have got you in a situation where you may have to die. If I die, let me die. Because there's something, because God got you in a situation that requires that. And so it might not be just a regular prayer. And we can pray, the Bible teaches us all, we ought to always pray and not faint. So those are basic prayers. Every saint can have a basic relationship with God and can pray. They can pray over the sick. They said that. Those are basic healings. But you have gifts of healing. So there's different dimensions of gifts and dimensions of calling and the ranking that people walk in. Just like intercessors are the same thing. Okay? So you have to know those things. And so, I think that's basically it. Remember, too, intercessors, it comes with a humility. I told a man, I'm going to say this number, and let y'all talk, you get back over to y'all. I told a message, I'm on the teaching of messages, basically a series called Habitation, but I was talking about the face of God, and the face of God is very important, because that's what he tells us to see, nothing below that, just the face. And in fact, Chronicles 7:14 said, my people call by my name, to humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Having a wicked way. One of the statements that I made, I said that the seeking God's face always comes through humility. It comes through you cannot say I'm seeking God's face without humility. Humility is simply recognizing that you're nothing without him, recognizing that especially if you did something wrong, you recognize that it's my fault I did this. You own up to your faults and your what you have done. That's humility. So part of intercessor is humility. That's very important. That's very important. Jesus said he took the children of God, he took the children of Israel to the wilderness. That may humble you. You know, you would think they're already humble, all the hell they went through, but humility has nothing to do with what you go through. Yeah, humility is a hard thing. You can be in the worst place for the rest of your life and still be the most prideful person there is. So it's a hard thing. So intercessor is very important. The person has to be humble. They have to be, Jesus said, humble and lowly. Lowly means humble, so meek and lowly. So you have to have humility because the things that this individual faces, they have to be a humility about themselves. Okay? All right. So, God may be placing you in a place to intercede. So,
I just want to say myself profoundly simple and simply profound, absolutely beautiful.
Okay. I hope everybody got something out of that. Okay.
Apostle, this is where we normally give them an opportunity to ask questions or to make comments. And obviously, the person who was on the call is used to our call, so he knew that was his cue for him to make his comment. Glory to God.
Okay.
Any questions or comments? Anyone else? Don't forget to *6 to unmute your phone.
Praise the Lord to each of you. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for what I just heard. Glory be to God. It was awesome. I've been sitting here, Pastor, and to my brother in there, Minister Jackson, and the family of God there, I was sitting here taking notes. And, I'm going to be short because I know somebody else want to come forth. But I always considered myself very unorthodox in certain things because, you know, the way I do things.
Right.
What I mean is when you start talking about prayer, supplication, and intercessory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, my mind went back to Abraham. I'm saying, well, Lord, why my mind go back to Abraham? Because the reason my mind went back to Abraham, because I could see a progression there, you know? And the progression that I saw, Foster, was that, you know, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, thy son, thy only son, and whom thou love. So I saw a progression. You know, you said prayer, supplication, and then intercession, you know? And so I've seen the progression right there, even when I looked at Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham. And then something powerful you said that hit me too, Apostle, that was real awesome to me. You talked about the word transform, you know? And that enlightened my mind, my spiritual mind, because, you know, I always looked at that word. Now, at one time I looked up the Greek word apostle, and I found out that it meant metamorphosis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there was so much that you said that I'm grasping right now. The God has the power to change one reality to another, like night in the day in the night, and rock in the spring, the sea in the dry. Sea in the dry land. And I thought about that when you said, and be ye transformed and not conformed. And I just want to say this, you know, I'm just taking my notes and listening here, because this is powerful to me. And you said something about Job, and you said, you know, basically a part for you said, it's all about God. And you know, for the very first time, Apostle, I never knew this, but I found out when I was reading the book of James, you know, that, yes, it is all about God, because what you said is so powerful, too, because the book of Job, and when I saw James, it was all about the end of the Lord. And so I just want to thank you this morning, you know, and I want to say thank you, Father, for this wisdom and this knowledge, you know, that comes from above, because all good and perfect gifts, and that's a perfect gift. The scriptures say it comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there's no birth, and it's neither shadow. So I thank God for that good and perfect gift that he just showered down upon us and me. Thank you so much. That was awesome, Apostle. Awesome.
I just wanted to say something. I get irritated with my kids because they like chicken, but they leave a lot of meat on the bone. And today, you picked some meat off the bone because I never caught that he told them to sell it. You know, because generally we thought, trust me, I probably hit that scripture maybe 20 to 50 times, but I never caught sell. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was some meat off the bone, and then the lead broke down, sell, and Charles Jackson is a mighty, mighty student, teacher of the word. So for him to invite me on with you and you bring something out like that, I tell you, I got some meat today. And I see why Jesus said, my meat is something that you don't know of, because, man, I'm going into a meeting, and I didn't eat breakfast, but I ate breakfast. I feel great, man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God bless you,
sir. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
I have a comment and a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Apostle, this is my first time hearing you teach, and I'm one of those people who don't take easily to new people. But, of course, you know, I trust Charles and Janet, and if they trust you, then I trust you. But even if I had not been connected
That's
to you on
daddy,
this call,
That's my
I hear you. I mean, even if I had not been connected to you through them, when you begin to talk about losing identity, you know, we have to lose our identity. Well, my trust in you would have been established right there, you know, because so much of the church, and I'm not, you know, criticizing or anything like stating a reality, is about people putting themselves on display. So I want to say I appreciate that about you, and I understand that Charles and Janet are your spiritual children, because Charles even sounds like you, and that's delightful to me.
He does.
I've been so blessed, and my life has been so transformed in certain areas by Charles's teaching, and it's an honor to know you, And I wanted to say that I love to hear teachings when I hear things that I've never heard before. And when you talked about transforming, it was so simple, meaning conforming to a reality, you know, another reality. I mean, you know, we've heard that before, but I was able to visualize some things just by that simple statement. It means adopting another reality, you know. And also when you said that the three dimensions, you said way, truth, and life. That's where my question comes in. Way, truth, and life are dimensions. Never heard that before, but I wonder if you could just real quick, I don't know if you have time to break that just down just a little bit, because I might not get the chance to ask it again. You know, way, truth, and life are dimensions.
Yeah.
Anointing, but you can have all that and people still not get changed because the presence don't change you, only the glory does.
Okay. So those are the dimensions there. That's how he's moving this church. And unfortunately, back then, we just stayed in that one place because we saw power, or we saw somebody get healed, or we saw somebody get out of the wheelchair. And we just stayed there. We thought that was God's habitation. That's not. God don't dwell there. That's just his power. God didn't dwell in the Red Sea. He just opened it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Does that help a lot?
That's powerful. And I also wanted to thank you for the revelation about the rich young ruler. Never quite saw that he had to sell, quote unquote, his identity and take on the identity. In that scripture, that was powerful as well. So I thank you. And I'm telling you, when I hear you, I hear Charles, and it's quite amazing. So thank you both, all of you, Janet, my precious sister. Thank y'all.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Apostle Wood, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. I just wanted to go ahead and say that it was worth crucifying myself getting up this morning. My sister Janet knows I am not a morning person at all.
No,
I completely forgot about it. I came on the call halfway, but even for the little bitty parts of the nuggets that I digested for breakfast this morning spiritually. I really enjoyed it, and I really learned a lot. And I just wanted to go ahead and say thank you for giving up your time this early in the morning for all of us. That's blessed.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you.
Any more questions or comments?
Yes, I got one more comment. I'm kind of curious. I think I better get my comment in because this comment might be to teach me something. Now, Pastor, I want to ask. You were speaking about the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, and then I heard you say. Speak about how God can smell. You know, he can smell the smoke,
right?
Which is the prayers of the saint. He can smell it. And then I was listening to that apostle, and I was like, okay. So this, and then you talked about the intense heat. So the effectual fervent, the effectual and the fervent is what creates the heat. And so, am I getting it right? It creates heat, intense heat, and that creates that instant, that smoke that God can smell, right?
Right. That's what the angels say before him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's correct. It's like worship. You take that from when Jesus Christ was a sweet smelling savior. He was sweet smelling. It pleased God to kill his son, the Bible says. And worship is the same thing. Worship is God smells worship. You don't see worship, he smells it. That, you take that from the woman in Alabaster Box. Worship creates an odor. It's a perfume. That's why the Bible says our praises God inhabits. He inhabits because our praise and our worship anoints God. God's not going to come in a stinking area. And so it's demons that are attracted to stink. So it is not God. It creates an odor. That's why a worshiper can leave his house, but the odor of worship is still in his house. You leave an odor. So demons can smell that. It's different from what's in the spirit than what's in the natural. They see things different from what we see. So if we begin to open our eyes to the spirit, we'll be able to see things and understand these types of things, too. And so it's just like music. Music is color. Music used to be, when music was played, it produced colors. You know, that's why you have all kinds of colors in heaven. Satan will have stones and colors on him. That's why the high priest had colors on them. That's why we're made of stone. The Bible calls us stone, jasper, onyx stone. Because when we praise God, our stones light up. Everything's light up. It's different. We can't see that, but we have to know that. That's why everything in God's eyes and the saints' eyes, everything should be colorful and joyful. You know, so, yeah, it smells it. It's an odor to God. It's not that he don't see it a year or two, but it's more of an odor to him.
And
it's the odor in the atmosphere.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
questions or comments. Oh, I see y'all high. Come on out. Don't be scared.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory. All right. Okay. All right. Well, if there are no more questions or comments,
I have a comment. I'm sorry it took me so long to unmute. I apologize.
In her excitement, she was that's fine.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Apostle. I came in a little bit late, and I was indisposed. I had my phone on mute, and it took me a while to get back to my phone to unmute it because I didn't want you all to hear all my background noise.
Right.
Your statement about that our prayer life should be transformative, we should be transforming, that is such great confirmation because this year I just turned 50, and I was doing some personal inventory and trying to track how it is I came to have this passion for praying for governments and things of that nature. I was trying to track it, you know, and see how it grew. And what your sharing reminded me of is that our intercessory prayer, when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, it identifies our purpose and our destiny. Our passion in prayer is like a calling card. You know, it shows us, well, it shows me, kind of where the Lord has honed me or called me to, because I pray for governments in spite of myself. You know, it's not something that I even really, you know, I guess I could shut it down if it were my will, but it's a natural inclination. It's a burden, you know, that spirit, and I don't know if it's correct, the spirit of intercession or that burden for intercession will fall upon an individual, and they'll pray out things, they'll pray out the plans and the strategies of God in the spirit, and then when I start to pray in my natural man, it's laser, it's targeted, you know. Am I missing something? Because I'm really trying to just get my grounding and kind of lean into where I feel the Lord has called me in and not have any more resistance or hindrance. And just I'm wanting to know, is that passion, is that direction part of that growing from glory to glory? That's the confirmation that I've received. It's like going from glory to glory.
Wow.
Somebody's laughing.
I'm laughing. Your brother laughing at you. Because first of all, this was a call, and you said you got on the call late. This was a call from yesterday on the intercessor's broadcast, but nonetheless, we played it, so this second group of listeners and of people who participate in the fivefold conference call teaching on Friday could get the same teaching that we, you know, that Apostle did on yesterday. But when you asked the question initially, I didn't realize that you were a part of this call instead of the call from yesterday. So if you don't mind, Can you ask the question again? Because what I'm thinking you said was you started looking at how, you know, looking for a, so to speak, demarc point for when your transformation came with respect to praying for the government, for government officials. And once you found it, or I didn't really hear whether or not you found it. Were you able to trace it back?
Yes, to a degree. And I'm still in the process of that, which is what begs the question.
Okay.
You know.
So is that something that you can associate with going from glory to glory?
Well, yeah, and more pointedly, I guess the question would also be, does your passion in intercession, is that directly linked? I feel like it may be directly linked to your purpose. You know,
well,
yes,
it is. It is directly linked to your purpose, because the only thing that you even notice, period, comes from your purpose, comes from who you are. You know, even psychology says that the only thing that you're going to notice are those things that you have within you.
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. So, but the Bible affirms that in letting us know from what it teaches that, you know, we are all given specific gifts, and in order, just think, we all had the same perception with different gifts, what would that look like? You know? So we all have very, very unique perceptions in order to zero in on what we're actually called to do. Now what sometimes kind of causes us to not readily step into that is, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that. You know, we don't realize that the reason that I'm this way is because of my gift set. The reason I see these things that are wrong and that I have an irritation or a desire to participate in making a difference in those areas is because of my gift set. And I think that's what you're noticing and highlighting and coming to a realization of, you know. You know, hey, look, I'm doing this, and I can even remember some conversations we had maybe last year, and how you was just, you know, kind of toiling with the whole idea and having a desire to do something entirely different. And but you know what? But God never let you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So,
and as a matter of fact, it's increased. You know, that's the cold blooded part. You know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So when you say going from glory to glory, I'm not sure how you're defining glory, but going from glory to glory is really a mind renewal thing. It's allowing the glory of God to express himself through us. Because, you know, the apostle said, you know, you're only transformed by the glory. You're not transformed by the presence. You know,
okay.
It's in the presence of God. The presence of God doesn't transform you, but the glory of God transforms
you. Okay.
Right. So having
Can you
that,
give me a – can you explain the difference between the presence and the glory? The
okay.
glory, as I understand it, shows up with tangible, you know, fruit.
Evidence?
Not just, yeah, tangible evidence. Thank you.
Right. Well, see, the Shekinah, we have to understand that the example that set in the Old Testament is the reality of the Holy Spirit in us in the New Testament. See,
right.
The reality of that is that when our mind is renewed and we allow the Holy Spirit to express the purpose of God, the intent that God has to make a difference in our atmosphere and our surroundings, that's the glory of God. But see, just as we have that ability, we also have the ability to have the presence of God, but not allow God to express himself through us, through our minds not being renewed.
Mm-hmm.
See, God impress upon us to do something, and because we haven't realized either that it's him or the importance of it or how effective it's going to be, because, you know, sometimes we don't do things because we just don't see it as being as effective as God does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with respect to that, the glory of God is seen through the mind being renewed, and once the mind is renewed, God can express himself to others through us by our minds being renewed and us not standing in the way. Have you ever been doing something that it seems as though you watch yourself do it?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. That's God using you to do something that you recognize is not being something that's your norm.
I was just having that conversation with, I think, Nidra last week or sometime. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the glory. Okay.
Right. See, the glory, a lot of times through people expressing themselves, and sometimes if you have to be careful, because sometimes people want to convince you, and they'll use hype to convince you. They'll try and convince you and sway you over to their side by explaining certain things to you that are by telling a story that makes you feel like, you know, like Eve did. You know, Eve had God and was doing something to what? To be like God. You're already like God. So now I got to convince you that you need to do this additional thing to be like God, when in fact you are a carrier. So sometimes we just have to operate off of what we know beyond the shadow of a doubt, what salvation affords to us simply from being, just from accepting Christ. Salvation offers God in us to us. So if God is going to come live in us, you know, transformation is evident, and he is constantly, you know, we talked about this on last week, he is constantly bringing forth the image of Christ.
That's right.
So that image is the totality of man, as we talked about on last week. It's a total image. It's not just a spiritual image, because Christ was God. God, the Bible says that he was the image of the invisible God. Well, that wasn't spiritual. That was physical.
That's right.
Right.
So can I say that as an intercessor, one could find themselves, in order for there to be congruency, you've got to be, it's like all tied into together. There's the fact that you're conformed into the image and likeness of Christ, but that Christ is the anointing and the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you, prays through you, through intercession, as you yield yourself, prays through you the perfect plan and strategy of the Father, that as you yield to it in the physical, it walking it out, again, conforms
it's
you into the likeness of Christ.
It's producing, right. It's producing his desired result.
Yeah, which is being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ.
Right.
Like
well, being conformed to the image of Christ is really, is really submitting to let him work. Because when you read the Gospels, Christ basically said, hey, look, I just gave him a body. And as a matter of fact, one of the scriptures says, he says, a body that thou hast prepared for me to do thy will, O God. So really, Christ just gave him a physical body to what? To express himself through. And that's the image. See, that's the image.
That's good. That's good. That's really good. Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm lining some things up because I'm leaning in.
All right.
So I'm getting the full measure. You know, I want my portion. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And so, it was very, very necessary for me to be on this call.
Amen.
Thank you. Again. Mm-hmm. Even though I came late and I had my phone muted, that's why it took me so long to get back to ask a question. Yeah, I appreciate you helping line that up for me, Charles.
Yes, ma'am. Thank God.
Okay.
Well, any other questions or comments? Any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you so much, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for your word finding good ground in our hearts, Lord God. We thank you for our ability to be encouraged by it and to be able to be motivated by it, Father. Father, we thank you for your blood reversing every curse. We thank you for renewed minds, Lord God, to walk in all that you have created us to walk in. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you, Father. We cover every family, Lord God, that you have placed in connectivity with us, Father. Continue to show us how to manage these relationships, Lord God. Let us see, Lord God, that what you're doing in us, Lord God, you have placed others in our life, Lord God, to assure us, Lord God, and to bring another aspect of who you are right in the middle of our lives. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you, we thank you for an awesome weekend. We thank you, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up. Everyone, have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.